Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're in troubled times. And we need to understand what this trouble is about and how we can hold it in a way that gives us peace and space to see it as a transitory understanding of life that we can pass through with strength of purpose and soul strength even. And to help us do that, I invited a wonderful author who's been on the show many times. She's so wise and knows so much about our past and our soul selves and our spirituality. It's so wonderful to talk with Tricia McCannon, the author of a book I recently interviewed her for, was Return of the Divine Sophia, and so many other books. Tricia, welcome to Energy Stew.
Oh, Peter, thank you so much. It's always such a pleasure to be with you and the wonderful, wonderful people in New York and the tri-state area. So thanks for having me.
Sure. You know, it's so important to talk with you at this time because you can help us understand what the story is in our spiritual journey to be here now at this time when we're all being tested and tested to know who we are, tested to see have the perspective to see the difference between this third dimensional world that we're in that is so troubled now and our, let's call it eternal souls that have come to experience it.
These are, in fact, troubling times, and I know a lot of us are still reeling from the recent election of Donald Trump and a lot of the things he represents. And I think, you know, we've talked a little bit ahead of this interview about how that came to happen and how there were people who really kind of really did not understand that there are a lot of qualities about him, from being a bully, a narcissist, a misogynist, a racist, that certainly we don't typify as a nation. We never have. We've, in fact, typified the opposite, which is that all people are created equal, that all deserve to be treated as souls, and to have an equal opportunity if they're willing to work for it and grow for it, and that what we do comes back to us in a positive way. And of course, it can come back in a negative way as well, but prejudice doesn't allow that. So I know there's a lot of shock, and I think we're, as a nation and as a world, I just got off the phone with a friend in England, and they are in shock, and Europe is in shock. Everyone's in shock, and of course, we're going to all pray. I think intercessory prayer really works, as we know, with many healing situations. So I think we're all going to pray that, you know, he does the good things that a leader can do, because clearly he is willful and determined, and he has courage, and he has conviction. And he has a lot of things that are not really ideological principles that we agree with, but they're pragmatic. And the pragmatic things, some of them can be very helpful. They can be very useful. And, you know, they're empire building kind of skills. The question is, you know, we're at a place now where if we empire build, as we know, with fossil fuels and fracking and a lot of things, we actually are destroying the environment. If we spend all of our time, you know, creating industries that basically are not healthy to the land, the animals, the people, and the long-term gain, we are short-sighted and we gain profits, but we ultimately sabotage ourselves.
All right, so let's keep a perspective on this.
Right.
Things don't look good.
Right.
You can say, well, there's hope because he's powerful in his own way, but in his own way, he's also making a lot of mistakes, and he's bringing in the worst of the lot of the people who can hold these jobs in government.
Yes.
So it doesn't look good. Everything he's doing now looks terrible.
Right.
And we have to hold perspective. Now, we're not saying we can be spiritual and rise above it and detach ourselves from it, because we love each other so much. We want the best for each other in this world, and we want to have this planet work for us. So we do have to go to work as responsible citizens.
We do. In fact, you know, as you know, the Tree of Life, which is one of my topics, and you're very aware of that, teaches that of the four dimensional, let us say, sections, and there may be more than that in planes, that there's the world of emanation, let's say God's world, that begins the wave out, the Big Bang that creates things, the wave of creation where we begin to see templates for sacred geometry and sound, then the worlds of creation, which would be what we think of as the fourth and fifth dimension, where we have buildings and masters and people and the world of form. It's just as vibrating at a higher frequency than the third. And then we have the world of action, which is where we are in the third dimension. We still are in the worlds of form, clearly, but we are meant to take action. And so I think what we're talking about in this conversation, if I'm not mistaken, is two perspectives. The higher perspective of the eternal nature of the soul and the fact that all the lives that we take down here are just one chapter in the book of life that we ourselves are living and creating. You know, whether it's, you know, around love or family or relationships or business or spiritual involvement. So that's, we have to keep that perspective. Otherwise, you know, when something doesn't go our way, we can be overcome with despair. But on the other hand, it doesn't give us permission to just check out and say, oh, that doesn't concern me. I think it's important for us to stand up as a call for action. And sometimes I think that when Hitler came in, for example, Hitler, you know, so went to one side of the negative patriarchy that we sort of said, never again will we allow a Holocaust to happen. Okay. So, you know, we certainly hope that Donald Trump isn't cut from that same cloth, you know, although there's some interesting pictures of him next to Mussolini online, and they do look like they're the incarnation of the same soul. But let's hope that that soul that is actually also evolving, and that he's more on the side of goodness in this lifetime if he was the same soul. But we ourselves have to act here, but remember our true connection is in that higher realm. And I think a lot of this comes down to an imbalance between the male and the female energies. And as we know, they're very positive male energies. And of course, you typify a lot of that. Jesus typified, and many of the great spiritual masters and teachers that we've had have typified the enlightened male, the inclusive male, the conscious male, the male who is the true spiritual leader because he's awakened his heart. But there's a negative aspect of the male, and that's the selfish, you know, bull in the china shop. And the same thing is true with the female. We have the enlightened female that is inclusive, loving, nurturing, mothering, and realizes that we're all part of the circle of life and we have to treat each other with respect. And we have the negative female, which is sort of the victim and simpering and manipulating and jealous and backbiting. And so these are four polarities, you know, and if we go too far on the negative male or the negative female, we have lost the plot. We really have to work for what, of course, the Tree of Life talks about is the middle path. And that is the combination of the beautiful masculine and the beautiful feminine in balance together.
Well, let's assume that at this point in our evolution, those things are waking up in us more and more. And we are moving into what we call Kalaman, an expert on the mind and calendar, sees as the ninth wave of consciousness. And I'll have him on the show soon. He has a new book out about that. And that means that many people are waking up in ways that they haven't before, but it's a process. And we can't expect it to happen at once. And those of us who understand this bigger picture want to take responsibility. But we have to do it from a perspective of the dark has to reveal itself. And the dark is revealing itself now. We can't be afraid that the dark will win. It looks that way at the time because, you know, half the country voted for the dark. And what does that mean? You know, they didn't know they were voting for the dark. They were hoping the dark was light.
Right. And let me just say that 49% of the American public didn't vote at all. So really, it's maybe a quarter of the country voted for the dark, or we're to vote for Trump.
Well, they voted for what they thought was light.
Right. They were hoping. Exactly.
Yeah. And now it's turning out that he, you know, there may be some glimmers of light in him, but there's so much dark, it's ridiculous. And we can't let that consume us. because we will not stop holding the light. We will not stop being warriors for the light.
Right.
No one who knows the light will relent. And it's going to be a very interesting time because, you know, the dark is doing its best to commandeer and to, you know, rule out any chance for the light to influence them. And we need to be champions and keep on understanding hope and possibility of the darkness destroying itself.
That's actually a great point. And I want to say, which we'll revisit that in a second, I want to say that one of the beauties about America and the Founding Fathers is they didn't say, you know, if you became president, you could be president for, you know, ever. You couldn't, if you, even if we got a bad president in there that was a dictator, that you couldn't have it forever. You know, you were able to have it for 4 years, and if people really, really, really liked you after you had shown your true colors, you could have it for 8 years. But then it has to transition out, okay? And when we start talking about other periods in history where it looks like the dark has won, you know, sometimes the dark seems like it's come in and ravaged and pillaged. Hitler was a perfect example. Mussolini was a perfect example. The North Korean president is a perfect example. If you go back in time, back to ancient Egypt, which, you know, that's one of my passions. I'm actually teaching a class on the Egyptian mysteries here in Atlanta, and I have all those incredible online classes on those great mysteries that you can find through my website.
What is your website, by the way?
It's www.trishamcannon.com, T-R-I-C-I-A, that spelling, and McCannon is just like it sounds, M-C, Mac, Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N.com. You can find me, and, you know, I have, you know, my books, about 30 DVDs, about 10 CDs. I have a whole online mystery school that I've been teaching for about 10 or 12 years. I have students all around the world, and that's easy. No matter where you live, you can check it out under mysteries and order the classes, and I send them to you as gorgeous PDF books, and they're really amazing. So in ancient Egypt, there was a time where the light was in power, you know, after the great flood, where Egypt was being set up again by the great Lord Osiris, who traveled around and brought food to the starving and taught people how to sow their own seeds and raise their own crops. That's why he was known as the Green God, and his lovely wife Isis, who, of course, has now been turned into a horrible terror organization, which isn't even called Isis. It's called ISIL or ISIL, okay? But of course, this is, again, the patriarchy at work trying to pollute the subconscious of everyone to think that ISIS is associated with Terra. You know, you think about the war on Terra, it wasn't T-E-R-R-O-R, it was T-A-R-A, the war on the divine feminine, the war on the earth. So, I mean, you can just see how this negative patriarchy just kind of keeps trying to manipulate the masses. But ISIS, who actually set up civilization, and then of course, they had this jealous brother Set, who actually wound up tricking Osiris, murdering Osiris, and taking over Egypt and plunging it into darkness for about 350 years. And of course, Isis had to go into hiding with her. She was, you know, pregnant with her son Horus, and eventually he arose and fought back his uncle, who, these are those Anunnaki gods we've talked about that are very long lived. I mean, they lived, you know, tens of thousands of years, and so 450 years is a blink of an eye for them. But Horus, actually, who was a poet, a healer, really a divine being in many ways, a master, he didn't want to have to fight, but there was a time he had to stand up for and act against that darkness. And of course, he and his mother, who were kind of the female Christ and male and female Christ energies at that time, won back Egypt from the dark.
Well, one of the limitations of that time is that they didn't have the internet. We have a real dissemination of knowledge of reality here, even though the internet is also full of a lot of phony baloney. It's an opportunity for us all to work together more
and
bring our light together. And so I don't think we need to cower. I don't feel that we should succumb to it in a way that
paralyzes us.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Exactly. And that's one thing I want to say about the media. I think the media should be applauded because it has tried its very best to do a very fair job in so many ways. However, you know, one of the things that Donald Trump is so good at, he is such a media manipulator, is if he has a problem, he immediately, instead of taking responsibility and looking within, he's totally not self-reflective, he turns it and accuses his opponent of that problem. So he's a liar. You know, the fact checkers figured out 80% of what he said was a lie during the campaign. He turns it and turns the other person a liar. He's a thief. He's cheated all these people in business. He turns and calls the other person crooked. You know, he winds up not liking what the media is exposing that's actual factual. So then he accuses the media of being biased, which then makes the bosses go, guys, we can't be biased. We don't want to be accused of that. So it makes them have to draw back the directness and the clarity of their words, which is, you know, they find themselves having to, you know,
they want to second guess themselves. Because, you know, the New York Times and Washington Post, for instance, don't want to be kept out of the White House. And,
of course.
So he threatens that. I mean, that's incredibly arrogant.
Well, we have freedom of speech. We have freedom of press. We have freedom of all of
that. But they're trying to distort what that means.
Exactly. Exactly. They do. And for anybody who has the right to be a KKK person, which is basically saying that the white race is the only supreme race, and I'm a blue-eyed blonde white girl, okay, that is the biggest bunch of baloney. It's just like the master race of Hitler. You know, if they have the right to speak their truth, however limited their audience, certainly those who fight for civil liberties that this country was founded on should have the right to stand up and speak their truths.
But there's a difference, you know, between an organization that foments terror.
Yes.
And that's what you're talking about. These are organizations that instill anger and,
yes, and that's
people to bring their guns out.
And that's actually what the problem is with the Muslims. There are many wonderful Muslims, kind people, good people, earnest people, heart-open, devoted people. But the extremists are the jihadists who foment terror and want to take over the world at any cost. It's the same thing, the pot calling the kettle black.
But see, there's a distortion in media that wants to generalize all of Islam and frighten people to the extent that there becomes genocide.
It's understandable because the way that Islam grew as a movement was militaristic, and part of their mission was to, in fact, take over the world. Now, we look at religions. There was a time, if you believe the Old Testament, there was a time when the Jews came out of Egypt, whether they're really the Jews or just, you know, a whole bunch of tribe that got together and then later called themselves the Jews. And they supposedly killed every man, woman, chicken, pig, and goat in Cana to take over that land. Now, I'm not really sure I believe that they did that because the archaeologists have discovered 40 different villages with no pig bones. They know they were Jewish, no military fortifications. And so maybe it was something that the priests made up to make them look scary so no one would bother them. And they were actually a very nice and peaceful religion. Who knows? But according to the Old Testament, there was a time when they were acting very militarily. Then you look at the Christian religion. You know, there was a time when we had the Inquisition, 6.5 centuries. I mean, millions of people murdered in the name of the,
well,
know,
we can see the thing is that religion has been pretty ugly over time. And, you know, we can easily see that humanity hasn't figured it out yet.
Right, exactly.
How to deal with the population, how to compete in life. And so they do this. And we see this now in government is the same thing. They're fomenting
dissension.
Rage, dissension.
Exactly, exactly. Hate, all the worst emotions of the human race.
Right, and that's why we have to have perspective. And
that's the negative patriarchy. That's what I was talking about. The
right.
Feminine is, and also the male positive, but it's
right.
Inclusive. It's cooperative.
Right.
It's not competitive and destructive.
And we're now in the age of Aquarius, which really is harmonic and it's cooperative.
And balanced.
And the ninth wave that we just moved into of consciousness, according to the Mayans, is a wave of equality. So we are moving towards the right behavior. We just haven't gotten there yet. And to help us get there, we have to know the difference on this plane. And I think what part of what's happening is that the ugliness is just exploding around us, so we can be so clear about
it's the shadow. It is right. Totally the human shadow. And you know, one of the things I found interesting, if you look at historical dynamics, many times, you know, like the Jews hating the Arabs, hey, those are half brothers. They're basically this literally the same Abraham father. The Irish and the English at each other's throats. It's the same blood, Celtic. I'm Scots, Irish, English. You know, the Russians and the Americans, you know, they look like meat and potatoes.
But that's because there's a lack of consciousness.
That's right. And it's the shadow.
And that's changing.
Yes, it is changing. It is changing across the world. You know, I have a friend when Trump was running, and I would just be like, oh my God, can you believe he said this? And my girlfriend said, you know, he's doing the perfect thing. He's illuminating for us that underbelly of consciousness
right.
that suppresses women. You know, God, I thought we'd grown out of this in America and Europe, at least, maybe not in the Middle East, that is racist, is bigoted, and is narcissistic, is self-absorbed and selfish to the max, and is absolutely false. It presents this charming face that says, I'm going to rescue, and will say any promise anything, but also it's all about service to self.
Exactly, and you're spelling it out beautifully. So the idea is really that we're being shown the belly of the beast.
Yes.
In the way that it's trying to deceive us, you know, it's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
You know, I've even thought about that whole, I mean, I don't want to sound like a crazy Bible belter, you know, like, you know, person over here, but you know, you think about the Antichrist, the prophecies of the Antichrist is he will arise, everyone will love him, they'll elect him president. Okay, this is actually the, you know, the Antichrist story.
Right.
It looks like he's the solution to all the problems, but he won't be.
Right. And so that the discovery of that is what moves us forward. So we're learning, and it's frightening for us on this plane. And that's why I think this show is important, to remember the big picture and to understand that this is just what has to happen in order for the light to find its way to know itself better through
yes.
us who can see it.
Well, I think like the Jewish Holocaust was so horrendous. You know, anytime that starts to come up, people go, never again, never again. So those souls that died horrible deaths in those camps, they gave their life for the whole world to learn a lesson.
Well,
never again.
I know, but we still have lessons to learn. And there's been a lot of genocide on the planet currently. And so we're still learning, but that's because this higher consciousness is just seeping in now for the planet and slowly reaching as many people as hopefully will make it a much happier planet. So we need to hold that in reference that this darkness is revealing how dark it is, and as frightening as it is to see, the fact that we see it and know it as such, for those of us who do, and will do what we can for the light to win.
That means that we must take action. The more people that actually can, and there's lots of organizations. How do we take action? Well, first, I think the protesters have been great to at least send the signal. I mean, will they change what's going to happen with the White House? No. But when we look like we're going to put a white supremacist in the cabinet or people that are absolutely just inappropriate to be running our country, we must make our voices.
We'll do it to win, okay, disallow that to happen. And if it happens, we'll not stop fighting it anyway.
Right. And this is what I was saying. I belong to maybe 20 organizations. And, you know, I'm not a wealthy person over here like many of us out there. But, you know, even if I send $20 a year to the World Wildlife Fund, to the people that are fighting the fracking, people working for clean air, people, the Conservation Society, there are many incredible organizations. They have organized themselves. They have teams of people. They take our money and they put it to fight that fight for us. These are simple ways that people who work 9 to 5 and are so tired that they can't figure out how to direct that frustration and anger, they can literally rechannel it by sending $20 to 20 different groups. If 1,000 of us did that, that's $20,000. And it gives them some funds to be able to have some, because money seems to be God in this world.
Of course it helps. And so we want to help in every way. Spread the word, call the dark, you know, be unrelenting, honest. Unrelenting in being champions of light.
But yes. We have
to understand that it's all for the good. It's all to make it a better world. And the dark had to do what it had to do now in order for us to win. You know, it wasn't going to come easy. You know, that's how pearls are made in clamshells. They, you know.
Pressure.
Yeah.
And what it does is it calls people who maybe otherwise would never have acted because they were too complacent into action. It mobilizes them to make a difference in the world.
So all of this is really for the better, and it's hard to see that. It's hard to hold it when we're in fear.
Exactly.
And so we really need to not only work hard, but also to manifest more of our own light in reverence for ourselves and each other and the spirit our sacredness, and really treasure that. And the more we treasure that, the stronger we'll be.
You know, this is the whole spiritual principle of it's where the attention goes, the energy flows. And I think this is sort of the challenge. We're at a place where we must be vigilant about the actions of the dark, but not give it too much of our attention or power. Give it enough that it mobilizes us to act, to focus on the positive
side. Right. We have to work both ways, in all ways. And so, Tricia McKenna, we're really coming to the end of the show. It's so enjoyable to talk with you. And
you always, Peter. You're wonderful. You're such a wise man yourself. And I love coming to New York. I'm going to be up there the end of March and beginning of April at the Edgar Casey Center and the Om Shanti Bookstore speaking. So maybe we could do another show maybe in January, February. Let people know.
Love to.
Thank
Tricia
you so
McCannon,
much.
And they can find you at TrishaMcCannon.com.
Yes. Thank you so much, Peter.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Bye.
Bye-bye.